You're listening to the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. In this podcast, you'll hear the audio from one of our live discussions. Please join the discussion at reasonablefaithvirtual.org.
Next step, so we have eyewitnesses, we have historical records, and we have some really remarkable historical records for the New Testament. And then we have, finally, we have the archaeological evidence. And every major Roman official has been discovered directly or indirectly through either an inscription or direct archaeological evidence, including Agrippa, Ananias, Annas, Bernice, Augustus, Caiaphas. And by the way, Caiaphas's sarcophagus was discovered in Jerusalem, and his name was actually inscribed on the side of the sarcophagus. Not only was his name in the sarcophagus, but they also contained the bones of a 60-year-old man. So we very well could have the bones of Caiaphas, the priest who presided over the trial of Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 and Luke chapter 3 and John chapter 11. We also have Pontius Pilate, two inscriptions from Pontius Pilate. In 1961, Italian archaeologists excavating at Caesarea discovered the name of Pilate on a stone, stating that he was the prefect of Judea, exactly the role that the New Testament gives him in the Gospels. This was discovered in 1961, so what I'll say about that is, again, what archaeology can do is archaeology can affirm historical text. And I'm careful to say affirm and not prove, because when I think about the word proof, I'm thinking about like a philosophical proof, but archaeology doesn't work that way. Archaeology is more cumulative case, so it's inductive, so you build a case. And there's been many, many discoveries that have been discovered in the New Testament with archaeology. The most recent one, amazing discovery, there are lots of little small discoveries, but the most recent amazing discovery was found, it was in 2007 by an Israeli archaeologist. His name is Ehud Netzer, a professor of archaeology. I believe he was at Tel Aviv University. Anyway, he was excavating at a site in right outside Bethlehem in the West Bank called Herodium, which is essentially a man-made mountain fortress constructed by Herod the Great in the first century, and Josephus records that Herod was buried at Herodium, and no one knew where his tomb was for 2,000 years. In 2007, Ehud Netzer discovered the mausoleum and then eventually the coffin of Herod the Great, Great Herod, that is mentioned in the Gospel of Luke. And I don't know of any archaeologist today who denies that that's Herod. In fact, I spoke with two years ago, I did an interview with Professor Jody Magnus. She's an archaeologist at UNC Chapel Hill and a colleague of Bart Ehrman. And she actually wrote an article on the discovery of King Herod's coffin. And Jody basically said that she believes that it was one of the most important discoveries in Israel since the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but it didn't get a lot of traction when it was announced in 2007. So, and we continually discover new things every year that fill in our gaps of the knowledge of the New Testament. So for those reasons, and again, it's a sort of a cumulative case. It's not any one thing. It's scholarship is much more nuanced than a simple, straightforward answer. But it's sort of a cumulative case. When you start looking at all the pieces together, you can really see that there was some major event that took place in the first century in and around Jerusalem that the New Testament records. And the best explanation for all of the data that we see is that Jesus really did historically and bodily rise again from the dead. And so for those reasons, I believe we can trust the New Testament. One other little quick note to give one little quick example, and then I'll turn it over to you guys if you have any questions. And that is, for years, I was teaching a course in the Old Testament, and then I taught a course in biblical archaeology. And I was actually, my son, when he was young, was homeschooled, and we were watching a lot of documentaries on, he got really fascinated with Titanic. You guys, of course, now it's in the news because of the sad episode of the sinking of this submarine, tragic accident that happened with the crushing of the submarine. But anyway, we were watching a lot of documentaries on the Titanic, and I didn't know this existed. But one of the documentaries we watched was, I think it was an old BBC documentary, and they actually had interviews from people who survived the Titanic. And one of them was a little girl at the time. Her name was Eva Hart, and she was 7 years old when she got on the Titanic with her parents. So to go back to our original, my original thesis, and that is that how do we know we can trust the New Testament? Well, eyewitnesses, historical records, and archaeological evidence. So eyewitnesses, historical records, and archaeological evidence. How do those three things work together? Well, so when I taught my class, the light bulb came on when I watched this documentary on the Titanic with Eva Hart. So here's the example with the Titanic, and I believe the same principles apply to the New Testament. So basically with the Titanic, you have an eyewitness to the sinking of the Titanic. That fulfills the criteria of eyewitness testimony. Not only do you have Eva Hart, but you have hundreds of other people who survived the Titanic as well. Now, of course, now they're all they've all deceased, and they're all have passed away. So we can't interview the eyewitnesses. But many of them left behind diaries or writings of their experiences on the Titanic. And so obviously people have different experiences. She was a 7-year-old girl with her mom, and her father perished on the boat. You have other people who were working as crew members of the Titanic. They had experiences, and they recorded their experiences. Their experiences of the sinking were different. What they were all in agreement on was that the ship sank. In the case of Eva Hart, her example was that she stated in her testimony before 1987, and this is important because in 1987 is when the Titanic was discovered. But before 1987, I think it was the 1970s when this video was recorded, she said that she saw the ship break in half as it sank. But then there were other eyewitnesses of the sinking of the ship who said the boat just sank. So there was a time period in which you have what seemed like a conflicting account of the sinking of the Titanic. But again, what they're in agreement on is the core idea. The core idea was that the ship sank. But they had, where there were some differences, was that some people said the ship just sank, other people said the ship broke in half. So the only way that we could know whether or not the ship broke in half is to go to the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. And that is exactly what happened in 1987. In 1987, Robert Ballard, who is an oceanographer, went with some equipment from the United States Navy. He had done work finding one of their lost nuclear submarines, the USS Thresher. And so Ballard found the Thresher and used some of the same equipment from the U.S. Navy and discovered the wreck of the Titanic. And when he discovered it, guess what? The ship broken in half, exactly as Eva Hart had stated. So my point in that is this, that archaeology can affirm eyewitness testimony. Eyewitnesses make claims about things that they saw. And so archaeology can affirm what some historical claims that eyewitnesses make. Obviously, we can't go back to 2,000 years ago. What we can look at, though, is we can look at the document that it was written in, and archaeology can give us really good information about the historical reliability of that document, and it is a very, very reliable document. I interviewed New Testament scholar Craig Evans down in Houston, who teaches archaeology there, and he is a Greek scholar who's translated the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I asked him, I said, Dr. Evans, what do archaeologists in Israel And what do they think about the New Testament? He says, I'll tell you, Ted, they when archaeologists working in Israel, whether they're believers or unbelievers, one thing they always carry with them in the field is the New Testament, because they know that the New Testament is going to give them accurate historical information. And that is absolutely true. They don't go to the, they don't go to any other historical documents or any other religious documents. They go to the New Testament because it is a reliable historical document. So I'll stop there and see perhaps if there are any follow-up questions on anything we talked about.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Reasonable Faith Virtual Chapter Podcast. If you'd like to join the discussion, please join us at reasonablefaithvirtual.org.